This is Linda Butler. We're calling to order the Communications and Technology Committee meeting. It's May 13th, 2021 at 8:30 a.m. The second on the agenda is comments from the public. Do we have any public comments?
I don't have any hands raised and I don't have any chats.
Okay, moving along to number three, the monthly website and social media update from, Amelia.
Here's our updates. Employment opportunities is our number one hit. We did have a few less Facebook hits, but it looks like our visits to our website are pretty normal. Employment opportunities, how to pay our bills, Riverview updates to project development projects, board meetings. That was probably me, the board meeting hit, because I was on there a ton. So on and so forth. And then where did our friends check in? Illinois? Oh, Quebec. This is a new one. Texas, Virginia, Massachusetts. Interesting. Facebook, we're down a little bit on Facebook this month. Actually, we're down a lot, but I really didn't post very much this month. There wasn't a lot, you know, there wasn't a lot of news. I guess no news is good news, right?
How is this the place to ask this question? I'm not sure. Yeah. How is the website, not the website, but the Facebook site through the county?
Next door.
Mm-hmm. Are we posting anything on that? What's happening with that?
I can answer that question, Linda. We have posted, I think, three times on Nextdoor.
Okay.
The system works very well. What we end up doing is we end up creating a one-page flyer, and the flyer is then posted. It comes off as being a Sac County posting. You may be on Nextdoor and seen how it comes across. But as I recall, we put one out for the winds and we put one out for a major repair we were doing. And I think the major repair we were doing on just the south. And then I forget what the last one was, but I'm comfortable that if we need to post something on Nextdoor, we can get it out quickly.
Okay.
That was a real plus for the last few months.
Is there some place where, are we putting it on our website also, what we're posting? Okay. And what's that listed under?
I believe we are, and I believe we're putting it on like the splash page where it goes across the most important things.
Yeah, I would put anything like that on the carousel, on that one that moves across the top of the page.
So can we double check?
And on Facebook too. Anything that goes on Nextdoor would go on our website and Facebook.
So can we double check and see where that stuff is? Can I go in and find it?
We can look and find out where we posted it, because I know the big one was when there were a bunch of winds.
Yeah.
We asked everybody to be prepared. No, it was a windy, windy day with a bunch of rain. We wanted everybody to get their leaves out of the gutters and stuff like that, just to be aware.
Okay. I like to know what's happening with what we've done, you know, to make sure that we're getting best use out of stuff. What the final happening was on it, you know, what are we doing with what we've got? So I just would like to take a look at that and maybe next month report back and say, you know, this is what we've done, this is what we posted, et cetera.
Okay, we'll look into that and we'll get that for you.
Okay. All right, keeping track of current issues report. We need to,
yeah.
And that is me. And basically, some time ago, we started a spreadsheet that keeps sort of an update of what we've got going on, mostly related to technology. And this is how it kind of morphed. And there has been some discussion for including more of the things we're doing, but because of our staffing issues, it's hard to get a lot more stuff added to our monthly workload, but we're hoping that changes. To begin with, the first four items here are all planned. If you see the third column status, all have to do with our planning to upgrade our finance system. Our accounts payable, general ledger, Great Plains integration is outdated. Our accounting system, general ledger, is just not properly designed for a government agency. We need to review and update our online billing system, because our system right now is archaic and it's impossible to manage when there's problems. Very, very technical system to use. So if we're missing two people, we might not be able to do it correctly because of, you know, vacations or whatever. We experienced that towards the end of last month when I went on vacation. And then we want to go further with automating HR and payroll. And so we're in the process of putting together an RFP for our financial systems replacement. And we're hoping that we have started that outline. We're hoping to complete the RFP and to make a selection of a vendor to replace our finance systems, including HR, payroll, and AP, and AR, and billing into one system, if they're out there. So that's kind of the same answer four times, but it's a big hit on our audit findings that we need to quit using a system not designed for government as our finance backbone. And so that's something our previous auditor had said a couple years when he got started, but kind of quit talking about it until the last couple years he was here. So we need to take care of this and upgrade it. So, and then there's a work order system that we're testing that
we Tom, have.
Yes.
Linda does have a comment, sir.
I just have a question. Who do we have working on this?
Paula O'Keefe is taking the lead on that. She's experienced in other places where she's worked, where they've done complete replacements of finance systems, both with the state and local government. And then I'm overseeing it as well, because I have a lot of experience in this workspace as well. So we will hire a consultant. That was in the budget, to hire a consultant to help us put together the proposal and to help us score it and review it, the vendors. So we're in that process.
And we're doing this with the top four issues.
The top four issues and more are all part of this. It's everything to do with finance and billing and utility billing and probably managing our assets and helping us do month end closings. You know, so much of when you read the audit that we're going to publish today for review tomorrow, hopefully go to the board with it next year, so much of our issues are related to lack of modern systems and lack of modern processes.
I understand. Is there any reason to maybe every 2 months take another look at this and see how we're going rather than quarterly?
Well, I mean, you're asking us to put together six times versus four. I don't mind. I mean, we can.
Just really a simple update was all I'm interested in.
Well, definitely. As this turns into a separate project, we can update it more regular as well. Definitely be something that the finance committee will be paying attention to.
Okay.
Yeah, Tom. I kind of agree that as we get started with it, we should treat it just as an update item, a separate item. As far as the actual report we're going through now, I'm happy with quarterly on that. I don't see any need to generate more work just as a reporting tool. The other thing on the finance system, I'd really like to see if there are a couple of comparable CSDs out there and maybe see what they're using. Part of that might even be, you know, visiting with them just to get a tour of what their systems look like.
And John, that is a great point. And there are a number of special districts that have recently upgraded their finance systems. And the companies, there's about four companies that are pretty commonly being implemented, but the El Dorado Parks, Special Parks District is one. And then I can't tell you the other ones, but because it's been so long since I talked to those folks, I will have a lot more to say about this after I go to the general manager conference in June. Because I know that it'll be one of the first times that all the vendors are out and about trying to sell their wares again. And we will definitely do site visits to talk to, see what's going on with the special districts that do utility billing that have, you know, more than 20 staff and have a big accounts receivable and payable operation. We'll definitely.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's perfect. Thanks.
Okay, and so again, the maintenance management program, we've been using kind of a free software forever, and we're trying to do a little bit of an upgrade and see if that meets our needs. We had budgeted money each of the past couple of years to buy a system, and that project never got out of the gate. Again, land management permitting system, we are the permit center for developers here in Rancho Marietta, and we have a three-part form that we use when people want to apply for a permit. So it would be nice to automate the system to be able to do plan submissions electronically, but right now it's all paper. The asset management system, and we're going to include in this things related to easements and try to do a mapping system where if we look at a section of the community, we can see what easements are attached to that property or that neighborhood. We're currently going back and forth with the resident in the north who sits on a circle lot who wants to impede on our easement. And we've told them no, and then they're coming back saying, well, you know, so we need to be a little bit more schooled in this part of the world. I'm working with Ron Greenfeld, who's just taken over for Paul Stevenson on an interim basis, and he and I are working to improve that process. The customer management system, that usually falls into the finance system as well because everybody's information is there. So we'll see what happens there. And then the district internet, I think we have a great internet site. And if you go to a lot of districts, they have the same company. So it's a company that does well with companies of our size. The cybersecurity is ongoing. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. And then number 11, the next door, the success of next door, I consider that a completed project. And then you'll see a little bit of redundancy on this. The RMCSD field operations technology projects, this is something that the former director of field operations had put together and submitted just prior to his leaving. I'm not in a position to really task Ron with going through all this at the same time as he's trying to get his head around what the desk looks like today. So I just took this as Paul presented it, and he's got some notes in there. So number one and two, we talked about being probably part of the ERP system or that freeware, the number one. And then talks about, you know, some stuff that Paul was hoping to do related to networking, upgrading the lift station controllers and pump stations. And the SCADA is a system that that manages all of our valves and stuff for our water and sewer plant, a lake monitoring system, lift station upgrades. So there's a lot of deferred maintenance or opportunities to improve our maintenance plans with technology. And as they come up, as things we have to address, for instance, when we go live with the system that we need to have our vendor Tesco come in and make sure everything's working right. We do, and eventually we'd like to have regular projects where we do full scale replacements of things and try to modernize how we do business here. So hopefully the next time you see this, it has a little bit more, less TBDs or TBAs, mm-hmm. and more definitive dates and reasons and justifications. So that's my goal. Are there any questions?
Tom, it's Linda. I just want to thank you for going over this again. And I think this is a good way to do this. It seems to have a flow, and it also seems to have, information that we need going forward. So thank you. And again, I think this is a really good way to do this, keeping track of these things.
So okay.
Have anything to say about that?
I don't have any questions, hands raised, and no chat.
Okay. All right, moving forward. We are on number five, discuss the final disposition of issuance of county citations, and that's Tina.
Tina is walking in the room right now. We're ready to talk about the county citations, Tina. What did you learn about that?
I just introduced you. Okay, for the county citation, we received a opinion from the attorney, the district's attorney, in regards to issuing those. Basically, we are allowed to issue citations, but they have to be on district-owned properties. So at this point, we're only able to issue citations for handicap or fire lane tickets, basically on the district-owned properties. So we're going to take a look at what the properties are, which basically is the one where the office is right now, and see if there's anywhere else. Because there are no handicap or fire lane zones at the water treatment plants that I know of. So
this has basically eliminated the issuance of citations in places like Bel Air. And
yes, that's correct. So we wouldn't be able to do that because those are private properties and they are not owned by the district. So therefore, under the government code, we can't do that. And I also looked at another older scope of authority that we have from 2008 that was done by a separate attorney's office. And same thing, it showed all the different authorities that we have, and it discusses citations, and it's the same exact thing as only on district-owned properties can we issue any type of county citations.
Okay.
Or district citations.
And do you think it's worth going through this on CSD property?
Yes, because sometimes we do have trespassers at our pump stations and at the water treatment plant, at Grand Lee's Dam, places like that where people should not be. So we can issue those there.
Okay, great. That's good news. And will there be a final written?
Yes. Sort of yeah. We're going over that now to figure out all the different areas where we can write the tickets. The main things will be for trespassing, with the people going to do things they're not supposed to do on district property.
Right. Okay.
So, and we're going to take a look at the water code again too for that and make sure that we do issue sites for that as well, if people are going into the reservoirs when they're not supposed to be. Because it's tricky there, because the property, the land around it, is owned by RMA, and then the other property on the shores, and then property just outside of it is private land.
Right.
So,
by the developer.
Yeah.
Right. Is there a way to get the three entities in agreement on? Is that something we want to approach?
The only thing for that would just be the signage for it. Okay. So, because we still wouldn't be able to issue sites for those.
Okay.
So okay. We can issue the violations under RMA if somebody is.
If it's an RMA violation.
Yeah, if it's an RMA violation, like on the shores of the reservoirs.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for the clarification.
I have no hands raised, no chats.
Nobody pays attention. Okay, moving right along. IT year in review. Tom?
Yes, and again, this is a discussion item, and we're trying to, you saw a bunch of stuff to do with IT above in the report I just gave up in the spreadsheets. But basically, I want to report that as we've been deploying more cameras for enhancing our security and accountability, we're running into some, you know, bandwidth issues in the network because the cameras use up a lot of bandwidth. Video, we all know video, and that takes up a lot of space and slows things down. So we've encountered quite a bit of servers and switches and hubs and wiring that hasn't been touched for quite some time. And so we're focusing on improving the communications, line of communications and speed of communications to the South Gate, to the North Gate, to the water treatment plant and the wastewater treatment plant, and creating an ability for us to do our work without having network delays and lockups on our systems. And I cannot tell you that we've fixed them all, but we've fixed quite a few, and we do have some work to do, especially with where the heavy duty increase in camera activity is, both the gates. And so over the past year, we've replaced probably a dozen PCs. We replaced our secure backbone, the where you have your firewalls and your phishing work and stuff like that. We can report that a year ago when we all had to go home, in March, we were able to seamlessly work remotely, and that system still to this day works. And at any given time, if we get told we can't work in the office anymore, we should be able to get most of our work done pretty easily. And that's because of the technology initiatives we've had over the past few months. We have modified our agreement with our service provider over the past few months to include a little bit of additional funding to provide a higher level of service for our wastewater and our water treatment plant computer systems, the systems that monitor the valves and the water going through and keeps track of how the membranes are working and everything like that. We've also increased how much we pay for the support of our DVR system that is the backbone of our camera systems. I think we've probably added about 10 cameras in the past 12 months. That includes the cameras over on Murrieta Drive, the cameras out by the bubble, where we collect water to go into our water treatment plant. And then we've improved the quality of the cameras that are catching license plates and cars as they're coming and going. We've added two cameras to the North Gate in response to the resident that was almost hit by a car, and we weren't able to determine which car that was. And sometimes this is complex because it involves digging holes or trenches to run wire that wasn't run in the past or was run but wasn't run correctly, and now it's broken. And then again, we're doing kind of the same thing at the South Gate. We're experiencing people coming in through the out lanes and kind of jamming through the gate really quick, and our people are not able to identify them. So we want to have better cameras on both gates, but in going and outgoing lanes. And then we added a little bit of money to help support our body camera program, because we want to make sure that our officers are protected from any sort of whatever you would get when you have an encounter with a resident, and the residents as well when they have their encounters with our officers. So the body camera upgrade was a big deal. We did an upgrade to the policy, and we're in the process of working on updating the policy for just the surveillance cameras as a whole. And that's kind of the IT year in review. I wish I had something flashier and a really nice PowerPoint, but I don't. So I'm ready to
more handle important to get the work done.
hopefully when we can fill a couple key positions, we can start to be a little bit more more flashy with our reporting.
As long as the work gets done, Tom, that's all we care about. The update on the policy, do we have a sense of when that might be done, or how we're going to follow up on getting that?
You know, I'm glad you asked that question, but I thought you were asking about something else. But you're talking about the surveillance camera policy,
right?
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to put Tina on the spot unless she has a good answer. But I would, Tina, what is your thought on that? I know your plate is pretty full.
I'm wondering when we can close out the update on the policy and have the camera policies and have it be finished.
Oh yeah, we're working on that. I've been working on that, and I already have it scheduled to meet with Rick today
to go over what we need to put in there as far as the inclusion of not just patrol officers, but right. gate officers, mm-hmm. everybody and stuff like that. Because the original draft of the policy only shows certain parts that are just for the security supervisor and the patrol officers and who has access and things like that. So we need to go through it and add more things in there.
So
it's clearer on what right. people can and cannot do. Right. So that's it. It should be done by next week, I would say.
Okay.
So it'll be done by the next meeting.
Next communication meeting.
Yes.
We'll make sure that we get that information out to the community and are very clear on the expectations. Okay, great. Thank you.
But I do want to say, Linda, I thought you were going to ask about the work from home remote policy. Oh. That's sort of a computer policy. And Paula is working on developing a remote worker policy for the district. The pandemic has necessitated the need to be very clear about what your remote working requirements are. And I've noticed our staff are all, whenever I reach out to them when we're working from home, they're there. Mm-hmm. I just want to make it very clear. So when people come to work here, they know what the policy is, and there's no gray area. So that's something we're working on. I don't think we're going to have such a demand to be out of the office like we have in the past, now that we have, I guess, herd immunity eventually, and the tier that we're in changes with the county. But it's still a very useful way to get work done, go home, don't get bothered, get projects done. So we want to be able to offer that to employees as they're thinking about working here. I cannot tell you how many people we've talked to for like the accounting supervisor job, where they basically said, well, I can do all my work from home, right?
No.
And I'm like, that's not how it works here. No. We're not that big. So the small organizations need to have people in seats in the office to mm-hmm. communicate and be responsive to our customers.
And when we get to item eight, which is review the status for live board and committee meetings, Amelia is going to go over some of that information. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Great. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Discuss cybersecurity status number 7. That's Tom 2.
Again, here I go. I'm really happy with our cybersecurity work that we've done. It's always good until somebody gets hacked and then you're in trouble and then whatever you did wasn't enough. But I feel like we've done our due diligence in working with We Cyber, who we hired to help us with our SharePoint, and it morphed into a cybersecurity agreement. They've done a really good job of working hand in hand with our IT provider. Some of the things they've completed in the past 12 months is they've defined the roles for the folks with a leap ahead IT, as far as what the expectations are there for implementing what We Cyber is telling us we need to implement. So basically, We Cyber is a project manager that's overseeing all of our cyber needs, and they tell our IT provider what to do, what to not do, when to implement new software, when to implement new detection techniques, and then a leap ahead does what they say. So we've done role assignment with each vendor. We've configured and installed the virtual private network so our staff are able to work at home in a safe technology environment. We've done a couple of phishing campaigns, and that's, I hope everybody knows what that is, but that's where you get an email, and if you click it, and you click it, something else, next thing, all sorts of bad stuff happens. And they've completed a couple of those. We can target certain areas where we know that people need to have better training, and then we ask them to go through training, and hopefully that does a better job. Our board did a great job of not clicking on the bad emails, so I'm very happy about that. We're upgrading our password management to be more consistent with current technology requirements. We had a number of workstations that had operating systems on them that were very old, and in some cases unsafe for getting hacked. They've done a network infrastructure design audit, and they're working with a leap ahead IT to to be better, to make sure we understand how our network is designed. And if there's a problem, we can quickly track it down. We're implementing something called multi-factor authentication across the board for our staff. It's taken some time because we're running into, like I said earlier, some bandwidth issues with connections between buildings. But we expect our employees to have to answer two questions to log into their computer. That increases your safety a whole lot, probably three times safer once you fully adapt a multi-factor authentication. We're making sure that when we give vendors access to our network that they follow our rules and we don't just let them open and come into our network to work with us and we adhere to their rules. We're working on updating our information security policies and procedures. And we hope to implement that in the near future with some policy changes. And again, we're enforcing a password management policy where you have to change your passwords more frequently. And we're working, Amelia's doing a great job with training and implementing training programs that to train staff on security awareness, both in the work environment and in your private life, because everybody's using computers, they're using mobile devices all the time. And they do it, you know, you get your medical record, you pay your bills, you come to work, you do your work. So it's kind of a, if you get cybersecurity training, or if you get computer awareness training, it kind of covers your whole life, 24 hours a day. And then we have a number of staff who have mobile devices, iPads for the security. Androids are in line soon for the utility staff, where they can get in and see plans from our escrow system. And then, of course, we have a bunch of phones. So we want to have endpoint mobile security policy in place to where if somebody's phone gets taken or it gets lost, that somebody can't grab it and utilize it to break into our network. And then one of the most important things we've had a Leap Ahead IT do is to implement policies where people cannot load software that's not authorized onto their computers. It's pretty tough to manage that, because when you have, you know, 20, 30 vendors and one comes in and says, oh, I need you to install this on your computer so I can run this task, so we can do it. It's complicated and it's something you always have to pay attention to. So, and of course, if it's an emergency, the people just have to be able to do their job and download stuff and get it working. So it's kind of a gray area with how forceful you want to be, because you don't want something to happen and have a system shut down like ABDI when they're having a golf tournament and stuff like that. And then one of the best things is we start creating these password requirements that we have. We're implementing a password reset program to where if you do lose your password, you can reset it yourself. You don't have to call. It doesn't have to be during the week. And that's something that's been real important to me for a while. And I have to chime in with those guys to see where we're at with that. But I think it's been tested successfully. It's just part of our whole, how much time do we have? So that is the cybersecurity update.
Thank you, Tom. That's very comprehensive. I just had one question. Are we good with Leap Ahead? Do we like how we're working with them? Is that a company that is working with us as well as us working with them?
I want to say yes, because, you know, while we're having some troubles with network speed and things like that, it's something that is very technical, and they've been spending time debugging where we have problems. And almost every time, it's something that we've had in place for years where a wire broke, so we put in a wireless solution instead, and the wireless solution's not fast enough. They're working really well with our camera company, Watchdog Security. They're in tune with what we've got going on with our SCADA system and our water treatment plant monitoring system. They're going to help us upgrade the servers for the operational plants. So I'm happy with them. You know, we're not a big enough district to have an IT staff. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, there's probably people out there who we could hire and they do a really good job. But as soon as they would get all this experience, you know, they'd be saying, okay, it's time to pay the piper, or, you know, I've got a better job here, I've got a better job there, because we do a lot of different things here and they get a lot of experience. So having a vendor to do this work, I think, is very useful. So my answer is I'm happy with them.
Okay, great. And it sounds like the right way to go to me. How about you, John Merchant? Are you still there?
Oh, yes. It takes me a while here on the iPad. I'm really happy considering where we started with this.
Right.
Back when Tom first got involved with it, obviously it's something we can continue to talk about and everyone will follow because now they're lining up for gas. But yeah, I'm really pleased with especially in our systems and technology and cybersecurity area with everything we've been doing. You know, I am looking forward to the new system. And like Tom said, I mean, those meetings, now that they're going to start to occur again with the other CSDs, as I went to those years ago, I went to a whole series of them. They're a wealth of knowledge. And that's another place I think you can trade conversations with other people about cybersecurity to find out where everybody else is. But I'm a happy camper here, okay. Literally.
Lucky you. Okay, thanks, Tom. Number 8, review the status for live board and committee meetings.
And that is me. This is Amelia. I reached out to the county, Sacramento County, last week, and we are in the red tier now, which is the second most restrictive tier. But I was informed that indoor gatherings are prohibited at this time, and private gatherings, CDPH has issued guidance for private gatherings. This guidance requires that private gatherings are limited to 3 households or less. So we want to have meetings. We want to go back to live meetings and see each other and get the flavor of that again. But until we go into a less restrictive tier, we're going to stay on Zoom.
Okay.
Hey, Amelia and Tom, I don't know where we've talked briefly about this, but going forward, the ability of us to continue, and I meant more specifically with committee meetings, to have them on Zoom or have the option of being on Zoom or being being live. I think they offer a tremendous amount of flexibility, and I think we've actually witnessed that we've had a lot more participation as a result of doing it this way. So I think we ought to continue with the conversation and find out from Shanahan or somebody going forward legally what we can and can't do with the Brown Act. But I really like these. I mean, I couldn't be participating in this if it wasn't for the way we're doing it now. So there's an opportunity there going forward, I think.
Tom, I agree with you, John. Tom, you had some thoughts on that, I think, if you wouldn't mind commenting on that.
Well, to me, I'm. Thanks for putting me on the spot, by the way, Linda.
Oh, you're welcome.
You know, I am really looking forward to live board meetings.
Yes.
I am not looking forward to going to live committee meetings in lieu of how we're working them now. I think the committee meetings, and boy, I probably have a split board on this. But I think the committee meetings on Zoom have been highly effective. If the staff are able to attend the meetings and be productive and pay attention without having to like leave their office, I believe we've had good input overall from our customers being able to chime into the Zoom meetings. It took us a while to figure out the best way to handle, you know, people just wanting to talk whenever they feel like it. And I think we've got that under control. Amelia's done a really good job with that. So my opinion is I like the committee meetings on Zoom. I want to see the board meetings live, and I really don't want to do a hybrid. I really don't want to do both. It's, I, I think the committee meetings are to get work done. I think the board meetings are the opportunity for people to stand up in public and have something to say. And I think if, you know, some of the board meetings go on and on and on, and I think it's important. They're after work. People can come in here and, you know, after work, if they have something they want to talk about, they can stand up. We can see who they are. We can talk things through. But the committee meetings are where we get a lot of work done. And it's just nice to be able to think that it's easy for others to pay attention to them. And the world has gone to Zoom. So those are my opinions.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And the reason I put you on the spot is because I was aware of your preference for this approach. And I'm in agreement with you on that. I think that we brought a lot more members of the community into our meetings because of the Zoom meetings. But I think that the general meeting is important for people to be able to come into it. Anything else?
No hands raised, no chats.
Okay. Number nine, discuss the meeting on April 14th with annual Deer Creek Law Enforcement EMS meeting, Tina.
Okay, I was not able to attend that, but I talked to Greg Pryor in regards to the meeting. Basically, they talked about the ongoing risk reduction requirements as it applies to wildfire in the area. They stated that law enforcement will continue to do enforcement in the area, including by CAL FIRE, poaching enforcement by CAL FISH and wildfire. And also the county parks is involved as well. So we want everybody to continue their enforcement in the area to try to prevent wildfires. And another interesting thing they said is that he said is there's a concept out there of a road closure for the section of Latrobe Road adjacent to Rancho Murrieta and the SBC. They're discussing that with the supervisor Frost in regards to that, see what can be done, if anything, on that.
So what exactly does that mean?
He didn't say, but
Latrobe Road, which goes off of Stonehouse.
Uh-huh.
And
it's adjacent to the two properties.
Right.
But he didn't say which part of Latrobe Road that's driven out there.
So they want to close it?
Yeah, I think.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, that's I think what the conversation is. You know, Latrobe with a four-wheel vehicle, some of the time, you do have the ability to go all the way through the. Conservancy is interested in stopping that practice. Mm-hmm. That involves all kinds of county involvement. But yeah, that I think is where they're going.
Yeah. So. They're just discussing that because there's, you know, kids that go out there and do their bonfires and shoot off guns and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And 'tis the season for that since summertime is coming up.
Yes. I don't know if everybody knows this, John, but Latrobe Road actually goes off. You can go all the way through to Michigan Bar. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. I believe you can. If you look at the map, and I've heard of people who do that entire loop.
You can. And they,
yeah, that's true. You can do that.
And they have, I was out there recently, a couple of weeks ago, and it's a tough ride to get down that road, which is great. I don't think it should be an easy ride. The necessity for our youth or anybody for that matter being out there is only a hindrance to us protecting ourselves from fire issues. So, okay, thanks, Tina. That's great. And that brings us to number 10, which is discuss the RMA emergency preparedness plan, which goes hand in hand with some of the things we were just talking about. I hope everybody in the community and all of the staff here at CSD have received or have had an opportunity to look at the Rancho Murrieta Emergency Preparedness Plan that was created by the RMA Association. It's been a long time coming. They have had wonderful people working on this. It's not finished, but it's very, very much in progress. And at some point, our CSD will be more involved, because it will take all of us working together to get gates and gate issues and getting a plan for evacuation with opening gates, et cetera, et cetera. Beyond the working on it process, I know that people on this preparedness plan are writing grants, trying to get money. It's a very, very big deal, and it couldn't be any more important. A few years ago, when we started talking about an emergency preparedness plan, it was before some of the fires that we've experienced, and this just couldn't be any more important as far as things that we need to continue working on and finish as best as we can and be helpful to RMA. So that's my take on that.
The only going to John, Linda, the only thing going forward from a security standpoint is as this takes shape, is the coordination for us.
Yes.
To make sure that what we fully understand when these conditions occur, what it is exactly we're supposed to do. I know it points in the study, it points towards the evacuation segments. Each part of the community has a different way out. Well, you know, we have to make sure that we understand fully what responsibility we have for opening gates,
right,
directing traffic, whatever. But yeah, other than that, I think this is really impressive what they've come up with so far.
And as I said, in the beginning, it was, you know, in case of an emergency, how can we evacuate? Well, it's gone far beyond that to how can we keep areas around Rancho Murrieta cleaned up? How, you know, there's just, it's a big deal. And these winds that we've been having over the past couple of weeks, it's just a point of understanding in terms of how that could become a huge, huge problem for us. So thank you, RMA. Thank you to the people who are involved in putting this together. And I imagine that we will be working more together, as John said, as time goes on. So.
And I, this is Amelia again, I did get permission from Kevin at RMA to post this. And so this is on our website as well.
Great.
Yeah, fantastic. I do have this posted on our website.
Fantastic. Okay, directors and staff comments, anything?
Yeah, it's John.
Oh, John, go ahead.
Okay. Just for the next meeting, with Paul leaving, what I kind of been thinking through is I'd like to have for key employees some kind of a master list, some Excel spreadsheet or something that highlights a couple of key areas. Number one, I'd like to know any place that we are involved with a license. Whether it be Department of Water Resources, any place, I'd like to know what those licenses are and who's responsible or who's the contact point for those, who holds the license. The same thing with principal contacts. Like I know Tom is engaged all the time with GSRMA and a host of other county and state organizations. And we don't have to go crazy with this, but we did find out as Paul was leaving that there are specific licenses assigned to executing tasks that we do even on a daily basis. I'd like one place where we at least know that key information. It's not something we have to do in a week, but I'd like to start to develop something like that over time.
I think it's a fantastic idea, unbelievably fantastic idea. And Tom, I guess we would come to you and ask who in particular we might want to put on that project.
Okay, we will meet internally and figure out the best way to handle that request.
Okay.
And then Tina had something to say.
Going back to the RMA's emergency plan and evacuation plan and all that, and speaking with Greg Pryor, we will be attending the fire safe meetings that are quarterly, so we can be involved in that. He asked that we be involved in that too, since obviously it affects the Rancho Murrieta and their plans and everything. And this is with the Metro Fire Department and Sac County OES. So Greg will be letting me know when the next quarterly meeting is so we can attend that. And that goes in line with the emergency policy plan that is being worked on for the district, as well as to what our duties are, including evacuation, communication with the law enforcement authorities when they do come out, if something is going on, traffic control, things like that. So just to let you know.
That's great. And that, that to me sounds like, Tina, you're going to be the point person for these, this information and these connections.
Yeah, for the fire safety teams, yes.
Okay, wonderful. Anything else? Any other comments or questions? John, are you okay with this?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Okay. I just want to say a lot of times the communications committee doesn't get much attention. It's not fancy. we are not as interesting perhaps sometimes as finance or improvements, but I think we have a lot to take care of here. We're on a great track, and I'm very pleased with the way things are moving along. That's it.
And so are we adjourned?
We are adjourned. End of the meeting.
Thank you so much.
Okay.